Greetings again, pilgrims of Lent. It's Pastor Bob, coming to you from our remote studios in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll be back in our regular studios, well, not tomorrow morning, but by tomorrow night, Sunday morning. And we are coming today on the 10th day of Lent. It's a Friday, it's February 26th. Interesting about this 10th day of Lent, because as we've been taught, and as I have taught, the Sundays in Lent are not counted as Lent, but in many Lenten devotionals, they're counted as days of Lent. Days of Lent. Maybe more appropriately, days in Lent. So that to actually get to Holy Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, it takes, figure that out now, there's six Sundays in Lent, it takes 46 days. So as we continue through this Lenten period, and I keep reminding you of what day it is in Lent, bear in mind that that is counting Sundays, and that it will take us 46 days to get to the night before the morning of the empty tomb. Amen. Well, perfectly ready to bring you this devotional today. We've got the Dance of Life meditation music in the background. We've got the Apple Harvest candle holding strong. It's being used a lot down here in Lexington, but it's hanging in there. And we've got this. That kava tea. The old kava with a splash of milk. So today we're going to have a scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew. If you got your Bible or are grabbing it or looking it up on your device, we're going to the 18th chapter of Matthew. 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 15 through 20. 15 through 20. And then we're going to have some reflection and insights from Mary Alice Mulligan. And let me just say, as for me, this devotional today is right on time, hitting the nail on the head. And somehow I feel like I'm the nail. But that's what Lent is really about. This is a great devotion today that I think will apply to most of us in a very deep in our core kind of way, if we let it. So let's see what you think about it. We'll have a few reflection questions, and we've got a short but profound poem today by an author you've never heard of, a poet you've never heard of. So look forward to that blessing at the end. All right. So let's begin with our gospel reading, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. And here's what the gospel says. And this, by the way, is Jesus talking. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the fault. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If the church decides you are right, but the other person won't accept it, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you this, whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together because they are mine, I am there among them. That may be one of the best endings to some really punch-in-the-gut scripture from Jesus. And then to end it that way is just magnificent. I think we should all, starting with me, take that as one suggestion of how to address these kinds of issues. Always bring it back to Jesus. Well, here's what Mary Alice Mulligan offers us today. She says this, "Let us note it again. Our faith journey requires a faith community. We need each other. Although no congregation is perfect, these teachings of Jesus give guidance to local churches. The big idea isn't rules for settling every argument. It is not rules for settling every argument, but guidance that as a community of faith, we need to be honest about how certain behaviors affect others. We need to be honest about how certain behaviors affect others. Someone needs to point out that it is silly to let our feelings get hurt over someone else's cutting the pies at the potluck. We also need others to point out that we are wrong to refuse to release funds for a project we do not like. And sometimes we must confront sin among us. In a congregation of varied members, each with different gifts and talents tucked within them by the Holy Spirit, disagreements happen. But we are empowered to reach compromises and share responsibilities. And when someone refuses to listen, Jesus' directions to treat them as a tax collector or Gentile does not mean to cut them off. Look how Jesus treats tax collectors. He asks to sit down to a meal with them. He invites them into God's presence. When barriers arise in our fellowship, perhaps after a little cooling off period, we might try having a meal together. Not to reach a compromise about the issue, but to reconnect in friendship through Jesus Christ." Wonderful devotion and scripture. That deserves another sip. I'm going to be reading that a few times today, folks. You may want to as well. And one of the reasons is because it hits directly in my Lenten heart right now. And the second good reason is because this is what gets churches in a lot of trouble, let's face it. And this is one way Jesus offers us to heal such things. All right, with your notebook or pad or with your computer mind at hand, here's a couple questions to reflect on. One, can you describe a situation you need to work on? Can you describe a situation you need to work on? In your journal, can you spell out some options for dealing with it? That's the second question. In your journal, can you spell out some options for dealing with it? Our poetry bonus today is a little short poem written by a man named David Budbill, who, as far as I know, is still alive, born in 1940 in Cleveland. David now lives in northern Vermont, and he is probably most known for a screenplay he wrote called Jude Vine, J-U-D-E-V-I-N-E. And it's about a poet on a mountain in Vermont. And it asks this question: what good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? The poem has been widely produced, but I think David is still sitting on that mountain in Vermont. Not unlike we sit in a little village of Arthur, surrounded by 5,000 Amish. It's kind of our mountain in Vermont. So it applies to all of us, really, in our daily life, all of us who aren't superstars or celebrities, political stars. It's called Dilemma by David Budhill. I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? Dilemma by David Budhill. I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? Let us pray. Lord, you are the firm giver of guidance. You believe we can heal any wounds in our fellowship. Help us believe it too. And let the church say, Amen.